This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet for up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. And we're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head to GetRoman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's GetRoman.com/SGP. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up today now at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right, welcome back, you D-gens. We're here to preview the Byron Nelson. My man did a solo pod last night because my computer, did whatever technology does when it wants to fucking ruin a goddamn Monday. So it's myself, Boston Capper, and the God of Golf himself, and solo podcaster, Steve Shermer. Are you ready for the Nelson, baby?
Well, I mean, I hate to fact check you like 5 seconds into the podcast, but it was not actually last night. Let me tell you what happened. Let's pull back the curtains.
Last night?
So, yeah, I recorded a 50-minute podcast last night. That didn't work. Then I got up at about 5 in the morning, determined. I was stubborn. I had to give content to the people. Recorded a 25-minute one at about 5 in the morning. That audio is messed up. I was going to say screw it, but you know what? I am determined. I'm going to get something to you guys. Did an 18-minute podcast, sped through it, botched a couple ad reads. I'm sorry, advertisers. You guys are great. I'm mush mouth and kind of fumbled through it because that was the first time I do it. And I have a newfound respect for my co-host. You are much better at ad reads than I am. But yeah, so typically I would do a little recap of the golf course. But honestly, because I just dropped the podcast today, go listen to it. It's 18 minutes. I sped through it. Gave a lot of nuggets. I think the only thing I would add is I heard an interesting wrinkle, and I want to run this by you.
Okay.
Is so it rained a lot today.
Yeah.
At TPC Clark Ranch, like buckets. And one little thing I forgot about is there's this new little trend the PGA Tour likes to do called live clean in place. And I got a feeling they're going to be doing that probably tomorrow.
Think so?
Yeah.
Well, not tomorrow. What day is that? Say Wednesday.
I don't know. No idea.
Don't do that. Don't do that to me. Fucking Christ.
All right. It's Thursday.
So it's supposed to rain tomorrow, too.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain tomorrow, too. So probably, I mean, there's been a lot of push that driving distance is going to matter a lot this week. And I still think it will. I mean, this thing is wide open. And I've seen a little bit of pushback like, well, I'm going to take driving distance out because, it doesn't look like that's a big factor for scoring. But, I mean, my response to that is, it's like when we go to a golf course where it's really hard to hit the fairways, people are like, the guys are really good at the fairways, going to be advantage. No, it's, basically just free for all. But when it's easy to do something, when you suck at it, that's when you're exposed. So, yeah, if you can't bomb it, it's going to be, you're going to be on 8-ball. So for all the shorter hitters, though, if you hit the fairway, you're still going to be okay. I think if you're a short hitter who tends to suck off the tee, I think you're into it for a really long week and you're going to be behind the 8-ball and, it's not going to go well for you. So, but other than that, if you want to find out more about the golf course, check out the podcast I posted this morning.
And go to your article. The article always breaks it down.
Oh, and the article as well. I add a couple new wrinkles, because I had, 24 hours to digest a new golf course too. So, why don't we just get right to
Real quick. So did you see that Kiwa is going to be the longest course ever played on the PGA Tour?
I am not surprised. I listened to a podcast today where they brought on, I think his name's Scott Sherman. He's a Pete Dye disciple, and they actually did some renovations to the golf course. Not really, it's more like tinkering and refinement to it. And basically they added a bunch of tee boxes to make it very long. So I am not surprised. I took notes about all the changes that they made. And you'll be primed and ready on Sunday
Let's go, baby.
But we got to get through this crappy tournament.
Yeah, let's go. So. Let's go. Listen, we're going to make some fucking money this week. Crappy tournament, non-crappy tournament. That's what we do. We'll find you some gems. We'll make some fucking money. Hey, listen, we might even get another fucking outright. All right. Yeah. I'm not happy with our average. I mean, it's better than most people's, but I'm still not happy with it. So we're going to do fucking better.
Well, I want to address the audience, too. And, I got a winner, but it was all thanks to my co-host. And listen, there's a little bit of my ego involved in some of this stuff. And the fact that I had to basically just get drag kicking and screaming on Rory, it didn't make victory quite as sweet. It wasn't like I dragged.
Stop it.
There's a lot of ego involved in this stuff. Jesus. And did we get Rory? Yes, I did. I mean, all the credit goes to Boston Capper on that. You should definitely take a victory lap. How I gauge my performance every week is matchups.
Yep.
And my matchups were horrendous last week. Like, just terrible. And honestly, the pre-tournament stuff has been bad for a couple tournaments. I was feeling bad about it, but then I noticed on Data Golf when we went there, they're doing really bad too. It seems like a lot of just like sharp traditional plays just been getting crushed. So, I think a turnaround's coming. I refined a little bit of how I looked at matchups on Saturday. Went a little better. I got pretty unlucky with a couple of those that I screened at Boston Capper before we got on here about, how Jason Duffner completely boned me. But I'm feeling good about this week. I like some of the plays I have. Let's go make some money, all right?
Let's make some fucking money. There you go. That's what it's all about.
Turn around.
All right. So we want any updates on the weather? Looks like it's fine. It looks like the best day is actually tomorrow. Oh, fuck Christ. Now look what you did. The best day is Thursday. And although on a weekly basis, I go into work on Wednesday after doing the pod. And I'm like in a full panic. Like when I wake up at 6 a.m., I'm like, fuck, I didn't get my bets in. I'm like, oh, Christ, it's only fucking Wednesday.
Yeah, you got a bunch of time. Yeah, I still have plenty.
It looks good. Saturday, Sunday look pretty bad.
The wind's like, what, 15?
15 to 20 with thunderstorms on fucking...
Sunday might be kind of gross. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, how much of that wind is attributed to the thunderstorm, though?
Yeah, and isn't this protected by trees anyway, for the most part?
Honestly, not really. Like, there's a pocket of trees to the southeast of the golf course. The back nine's pretty exposed, though. Like, it's like there's small trees, but, like... the branches are high over top. Like,
so they're still getting the gusts.
Yeah. You're going to get a lot of gusts. I wasn't kidding. It really does remind me a lot of Scottsdale. Like, Scottsdale has those low trees. Like, even if you hit it, like, towards some of those trees, like, you don't have any overhanging branches. As long as you're not behind it, you're fine. So, we'll talk about some guys tonight that have pretty good histories at Scottsdale, considering that Tom Weisskopf developed that and he's the artist behind this golf course. I think it's a good comp, and I think it's a solid one to lean on a little bit. If you're in a pinch and want to break a tie, go look at how they do there, and I think you'll be okay. So why don't we do where the ownership is right now?
Okay,
So over $10,000, the top two guys are Bryson by a mile.
Wow.
I have a serious track record being a week too early. I was on Bryson last week at a pretty good price. He is now half the price I got him for last week. I have a very sick feeling he's going to end up winning. But he's 22% on DraftKings. He's 8-1 in the betting card.
So bad.
If you want to pay up for him, we'll see. Spieth also is over 20% right now. He came out today, and the reason why he didn't play the match is because he got COVID.
Yeah, where the fuck did that come from? Good boy.
We really need
Adam Schefter golf. We should figure out a way
he would get sued for violating HIPAA if he tweeted that.
Yeah, but he could get permission from him and it'd be fine.
Okay.
That's how it works.
All right, sure. So anyway, Spieth said today that he felt pretty bad during it. He's shaking off the rust, so we'll see. I mean, he's still pretty popular. I think a lot of people are going on because he won the Valero before the Masters. People think he's going to win the Byron Nelson ahead of the PGA.
Texas guy, Texas course, man.
Exactly. He looks great in a bolo tie, doesn't he? Oh, I can't wait for you to say, like, oh, he's a Texas guy, even if he has nothing to do with Texas.
Yo, listen, you have scared me for that. Like, I'm careful about that now.
Do your homework on that. Dano Berger is popular as well. He has the curse of a certain mush out there.
So, who aware. Some soap?
A guy from Canada.
Oh, nice. And a curse. Yes. Who cares? Dude, whatever. Who gives a shit? They listen to us. They listen to them.
I mean, John Ross only 15% here. That might be an opportunity to go back to him. He burned a lot of people last week. And
that putter, know, man. We'll see. Bro, that putter.
I know. We'll get to him at 10,000. All right. 9,000 hour range. Scottie Scheffler is the uber chalk this week. Mm-hmm.
Texas guy.
Yes, Texas guy.
Texas guy.
Played well the match play. I mean, one thing I want to caution, though, is I think he was uber chalk at the Valero and he missed the cut then.
Yep, Texas guy. You're in a lot Texas of, tournament.
You're a lot of same things about him this week. And I mean, look, like, we'll get to him. I mean, he's on paper, he looks great, but just everyone literally is on him. And he also has the mush curse of a certain someone who we used to work with. Yeah, of a person who went to go work at this company. So,
I was like, we didn't used to work with that dude. What are you talking about? Did we work? Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so he's popular. Zalatoris is 15%. Fitzpatrick's 15%. They're both playing pretty well. Let's see. Brian Palmer's getting a little steam because why is that Boston capper? Because
it's a John Rahm golf course.
Texas guy.
Okay.
There you go. All right, 8,000 hour range. I mean, it doesn't look like a lot of people are going in this range very much. I mean, Siwoo is at 15%. Your boy Thomas Peter is 15% as well.
Both of my guys are chalk. Like,
I know.
Zero chance. So I'll still play Siwoo chalk. There's zero chance of playing fucking Peter's chalk.
I mean, Luke List is also chalk. So there's three of your guys right there.
I know.
So, yeah, that's not great. You're going to have to make a little decision now, man. I mean, Charles Schwartzel is just, I mean, he's playing great, but $8,100 for Charles Schwartzel, that's a
pass.
Yeah, we'll talk about the $8,000 range later. 7,000 hour range, you have chalk Doug Gim again. Yeah,
like, huge chalk.
Yeah, big chalk. Like, he's getting 20% this week. And again, why is he chalk?
Oh, is he a Texas guy?
UT.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Welcome horns. So, again, chalk. Wow. He's also getting some podcast bump. I mean, he's been hitting the ball great tee to green, not putting great. You know, that's not an awesome combination for a birdie fest, but we'll see. Taylor Gooch, he was pushing 20% his early in the week. That ownership has subsided a little bit.
Yeah, because I remember he did over the fucking weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, he still finished like T27. So yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was so bad. Bad for my DK lineup.
I know. We were hoping for a second place finish, but Brant Snedeker's 10%, Sepp Straka's about 11%, Tom Hoagie's like 10%, Johnny Vegas, your boy,
14%. You cannot play at Johnny Vegas 14%.
Well, Johnny Vegas, why is he chalk?
He's from Venezuela.
He went to UT.
Oh, listen, why do you know where they went to fucking college? That's insane.
Because I'm the god of golf. I'm supposed to know this stuff. Tom Hoagie, why is he popular? Because
he's a Texas guy.
He went to TCU.
God damn it.
Actually from Fargo, North Dakota, though.
Oh, my God.
But he ended up at TCU.
Does he talk like that?
I have no idea. I don't think I've ever heard Tom Hoagie talk.
I feel like I need to hear Tom Hoagie talk.
I mean, he could have a lisp or like a falsetto voice, and I wouldn't even know.
Did you watch the FX show Fargo?
I used to, and then the last couple seasons have been kind of bad.
No, so, dude, the last one with Chris Rock was fucking money.
I didn't enjoy it. I watched two episodes. I'm like, I'm out.
Oh, you sir have never mind. I forgot you think Goodfellas isn't good. So you're
no. I like the first two seasons of Fargo. The last two. Yeah.
The first two seasons was just a fucking movie.
It was great though. The movie's great, and that was great.
Yeah, it was fine, but then they were able to spin it off. All of it was great, except whatever, man. Your opinion.
We're not going to turn this into the TV, takes.
Listen, podcast, we'll do what we want. This is our podcast. We're growing up.
All right. Anyways, round out the 7,000-hour line. This is a big range, by the way. Tom Lewis is at 10%. He boned everybody bad last week, but people don't care. They're going back to him. Vincent Whaley also been playing pretty well. I mean, that was good when he was like 3%. I mean, credit where credit is due. Nagels Bagels was kind of on him for the past couple weeks, and I'm going to guess, looking at this ownership, he's probably going to say pass, and he's probably going to be right. So 10% ownership for Vince Whaley. Good luck if you want to go with that. And then under $7,000, honestly, there's not really a whole lot going on. Yeah, I mean, KH Lee's been hitting the ball great tee to green lately, 6%. I don't see anybody else over like 7%. It seems like the play this week is two guys up the top and then like four guys in the $7,000 range. That's a, on paper, very safe lineup. So,
right.
Chances are you probably want to go with everybody in the $8,000 range and everybody in the $6,000 range. That's
exactly. Yeah. And good luck picking the 6K guys. Good.
Yes, exactly. Luck. So, All right, that's all right, it.
Well, yeah, that's where the ownership's at. So before we start breaking down the tiers, jumping into the $10,000 and up range, listen, WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. There's generous promos, odds, and parlays happening right now at WynnBET. So get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of the $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions do apply, so get the details at WYNNBET.com and download the app today. So I actually liked from where are they showing at? They had Champ, Scam Champ. I know Steve's rolling his eyes. I'm not even looking at him. He was at plus 850 for an outright. That's it's like 10 points better than anywhere
you
else.
You can't bear to look at my eyes when you say that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I can
see the pain and shame in your eyes.
It's a shameful look down. It's a shameful look down. Yeah. But listen,
You should turn off your video next time when you admit that you bet Cam Champ.
Whatever, man.
But it is a great price on WynnBET, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right, man. 10K range. What do you got?
All right. I mean, now that Dustin Johnson withdrew, we got five guys. It starts with Bryson DeChambeau up at 11-2, goes all the way down Dana Berg at 10-1. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, it's kind of hard to find a fault in any of these guys.
I can find a fault in Rom.
Why are you finding a fault in Rom?
Because he hurts my feelings with his putting. And it makes me upset.
We'll take your feelings aside.
Yeah, fine. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I mean, it comes down to this. I mean, I think the only one I don't like is I don't like hearing that what Speed said about the COVID. And the fact he's got to shake off rust. This isn't like when he went to Valero. He's like, all right, I'm ready. I'm going to win. You know, it makes it seem like he's sure going to try to like kind of find a groove. Maybe he makes a run over the weekend. But I think of these five, especially because it's 20% ownership, I'll probably pass. I mean, I want to play Bryson, but if it, at 21% ownership, that's probably pass too. I'm hearing a lot of fade on Hideki, and I would be careful with that. Yeah. I mean, listen, like there's the narrative of, yeah, he just went around Japan and did a victory tour and everything like that. But I think the one thing that like wants me to kind of caution on just openly fading him is A, the ownership. He's the least popular everybody. And B, if we're making a direct comp to TPC Scottsdale, I mean, yeah. He's the king.
Yeah.
Yeah. He plays that course great. And this tee to green looks exactly like the place. And, you know, he came out of nowhere to kind of win the Masters. And again, we don't really know what he's been doing for a month. Like he just been over Japan. You know, maybe he's in a good state of mind. He's a little more relaxed, and now he's off the schneid. Maybe he could come out and play well this week. And the fact he's under 10%, I kind of like it. I would really like Daniel Berger if he wasn't Andercurst this week. That kind of stinks. But, I mean, if you don't believe in that and you think he's due for a win, I mean, he's a pretty great golfer in this place. He's good at Scottsdale. He's really good at all the TPC golf courses, too. Like, all these, like, easy setups, like, that's pretty good with him. He gains a ton of strokes off the tee. Like he's only averaging 2.9 off the tee, but that's perfectly fine. For, you know, if he's gaining all those strokes, great iron player, awesome putter, lots of birdies. There's some intangibles with him too. Like he's won twice in like these low purse terms before a major. Mm-hmm. You know, he won the FedEx St. Jude before it was a WGC for the U.S. Open. Those are his first two wins. So he's definitely the type of guy that before a major, he doesn't care. He's going to go out for a win. He's already won one of these crappy events in the Pebble Beach where it was a bunch of stars at the top and a bunch of junk at the bottom. He went out and won that. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to like if he wasn't for the fact he was super mushed. But, you know, I mean, listen, like for DraftKings, you know, throw him maybe a couple lineups. Maybe like if he doesn't win, if he finishes like fourth, that's perfectly fine. Yeah. So, I mean, he can still get a lot of points, a lot of birdies for you. So I still like Berger, but it's hard for me to argue anybody in this range. But I think probably the ones I'm just going to avoid is the most popular options in DeChambeau and Spieth. And it's funny. I mean, I didn't even mention Rom, so I'll let you handle that. So
yeah, so like we always talk about, right? You could differentiate somewhere else if you want to take the chalk. If you have a strong feeling on Bryson, like big boy's going to win because Steve was on him last week and he'll probably win this week at a shit number. Look, definitely play him and just make sure you don't take chalk somewhere else, right? You just got to differentiate one or two golfers as long as you have that strong feeling. But Rom, man, like, I don't know, man. Like, the only reason I keep going back to him is because he just missed the cut. And I'm pretty sure I need him to win for my theory for next week, right? He wasn't one of the golfers for our little theory that we'll hit for the PGA next week, right?
No, he actually fits the theory now.
Oh, he fits it now?
Yeah, because he missed the cut last week.
Yeah.
He's starting this week. So as long as he doesn't miss the cut this week, he's won twice in the last two.
Oh, my God.
Easily.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to put so much money on John Rahm next week. So, listen, this week, whatever. Like he's fine. His putter is fucking terrifying. Like the equipment change thing to me is always overblown. Like how Steve breaks it down. Like it's the same shit. They just fucking, it's so specified to them with weight and everything else. They just put a different stamp on it. Like that makes sense to me. But man, fucking hell, man. Go back to your old putter, man. Like his putting is just trash. Spieth terrifies me with COVID. I still have COVID brain. I literally still have COVID brain. Like I'll walk into a room and it's not just my normal brain. Like it's like I walk into a room for a purpose. I'll be like, what the hell am I walking in for? Like that shit is legit. Hideki at 8-7. This is the guy I swore off for our New Year's revolution, right? I swore off Hideki. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm back on him. Like, I mean, 8.7 iron game, good in Scottsdale. Like, we don't know what he's been doing for a month, but I feel like you said, I feel like it's almost off the schneid. Like, that weight is off. Like, okay, now I can just go out and play my game. I'm not going to press in the third and fourth round to try to win it because I just won. So I think I'll play a little freer and a little looser. I like Berger. Berger's fine. Like I'd say the only guy I'm actually avoiding in here is Spieth, and it's only because I'm scared of COVID.
Yeah. I mean, can I say one more thing about Hideki too?
Like, yeah, sure.
I mean, he had the weight of a country on for 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And like, I mean, now he's really thrust in the spotlight, but the fact that he like is the first major champion of Japan,
it's awesome.
It's gotta feel good. And like he took that loss of the PGA in 2017 really personally. And now the fact that he finally won, like he doesn't outwardly show a lot of emotion, but I mean, I hate to play psychiatrist with these guys, but I got to imagine behind closed doors, he's just got to be on top of the world. I'm just thrilled.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe this is a, you know, like he'll be able to kickstart for like a really nice year and, you know, go from there. But yeah, I think we beat up this range.
As we always do, because we always find like points to argue about up here. but all right. So the 9K range, I got Brooksy, Wilsey, Fitzy, Scotty, Burns, Leishman, Palmer, Garcia. So I'm going to avoid Brooks this week. Still worried about the injury. And as we all know, this is just a primer to dick tease us into betting him next week, right? And I won't even touch Will Zalatoris. I'm going to let my esteemed co-host talk about him because he has a fucking boner for fucking Willsey this week. So I'm going to let him take him. I mean, Fitzy, I mean, look, man. How do you not play him? He's played so well. He just has one bad round. Like, but he's played so well. This is a nice golf course for him. I wish the winds were up a little bit, actually. But I like Fitzy this week. Scottie Scheffler, I'm fading just completely for the ownership and whatever, man. Like, I'm just fading for the ownership. Burns, I mean, no. I'm just off of him. Like, he had his win. I don't think he's going to come out and win again. I like Leishman here. Shocker. I like Leishman. I like Sergio. I'm ambivalent to Palmer. That's a guy I can't figure out. When I bet him, he fucks me. When I don't bet him, he does well. So that's just somebody who I avoid. And I let Steve try to guide me on that. But I like Leishman, Garcia, and Fitzy in this range. And I like Willsey too, but I'll let you handle him.
Okay. No, I mean, I wrote about Will Zalatoris in my picks column this week that, I mean, he's going to win at some point. I like the number on him that they hung it on. Like, I got him at 28-1 early this week, and then once Dustin Johnson withdrew, he went down 25. I think he went 22 on some books, but still, I mean, that's for a guy of this caliber, for his talent level, the fact that he's gone to a bunch of different golf courses when he never seen before and won. There's not many guys in this field that he can beat. Or he has to be, you know, he's going to win some point. And, you know, sometimes like in these tournaments before a major, that's when we've seen some of these really young, talented guys get the breakthrough win. You know, Spieth won his first win at the John Deere before the Open Championship. Bryson did the same thing. I mentioned Dan Oberger earlier. He got his first two wins at the FedEx. His first win, he was, you know, pretty highly regarded rookie coming in. And then he ended up winning the FedEx to do that. Harris English also did the same thing. He was a very highly regarded college player. His first win came the week for a major. And, you know, maybe this is a time when a hungry guy like him can pick a win off when some of the other bigger stars are just focused on getting reps in the PGA for next week. So I really like him this week. I don't care about the missed cut last week. I think that was a fluke. There was a lot of guys who missed the cut at Quail Hollow. I mean, Rahm missed the cut. Cantlay missed the cut. So I'm not concerned about what happened last week. I think he's going to bounce back in a nice way. I think I agree with you, Brooks. I mean, you're my social media liaison. Is he chirping at all, or has he been kind of quiet?
So I actually haven't been on a lot of social media past 2 days. Just been fucking busy. So, okay. No, I have no fucking idea, but I'll look tonight.
All right, we'll see. But, I mean, regardless, he was limping around a month ago. It was pretty bad, right?
It was bad.
Yeah, and it seemed like this is a pretty significant injury, and I can't imagine how much better it is between like that a month went by. And yeah, I think the only news on him was that fact he was going to play left hand against Portnoy. Did that happen at all?
Or no, not yet. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I can't wait for him to beat Portnoy either. It's going to be fucking awesome.
Okay. I mean, I just.
Yeah, you got to avoid him, man. Listen, we can blind bet him next week. And yep. What's funny is when DJ withdrew, Brooks was at 20. He dropped to 18, and now he's back to 20 in most places. So it's like there's not a lot of steam on him. I feel like everybody kind of feels the same way.
Yeah.
That we want him.
I mean, as far as other guys in this range, I think if I am going to eat chalk, like Mega Chalk is probably going to be Scheffler this week. Yeah. I mean, I had the same spiel I had about Zalatoris about how guys get their breakthrough victory like the week for a major because some of the top players just start focused on reps. I mean, Scheffler's in the same boat. Like he hasn't gotten a victory yet.
And I always forget that he hasn't won yet. I always forget.
I know it's weird. I mean, he's come close a bunch of times, but he hasn't won. So, I mean, that's also something. I mean, the steam on him is pretty insane. But for DraftKings, if there's chalk, I'm probably going to eat it. Yeah, I don't actually hate Sam Burns this week just because he fits a lot of the things I'm looking for. Just a bomber, really good their irons and good putter. Makes a lot of birdies.
Yeah.
Why? I don't see a reason why I think he can't have another solid finish this week. Yeah. I like Leishman. Just simple, although I don't really know what to make of him though. I mean, just from a stat perspective, I mean, I know I got to throw it all out, but he hasn't had a shot length measured round since the Players. So there's a lot of old data on him. I know he won the team event. That's a different animal than stroke play. Like I know there's some crossover correlation between he played really at Trinity Forest that had Zoysia fairways and Bankgrass greens.
And don't
also had Zoysia fairways, Bankgrass greens.
Play that a lot, right?
What's that?
Isn't that what Australian guys play a lot?
Yeah, that's a popular grass type in Australia. So he's comfortable on that turf. So, yeah, that's a good reason for it. I mean, I love Sergio this week, too.
Sergio this week, too?
Yeah, I mean, the putting is a concern, but he still has pretty good birdie rates, and he can ball strike his way to a good score. And, I mean, you know, like the past two tournaments have not gone very well for him, so it's a little concerning. But, you know, he tends to play pretty well in Texas. I like him. So Fitzpatrick, though. So I think when I think of Matthew Fitzpatrick, I don't think of birdie fest with him. I know he makes a lot of birdies, but it seems like he's a better golfer in tougher conditions. That's when like he tends to shine. Yeah. So and like even like if you like he's only played. So I looked at like six TPC golf courses that had like bent grass or rye grass overseed. That's similar turf conditions to what they'll see. And he doesn't have very good history of it. Really? So that kind of makes me think maybe this type of easy, like simple, like safe setups aren't really Fitzpatrick's game. You know, maybe he's got one eye to Kiowa because I think that's actually a golf course that even with the length is going to fit him pretty well. I mean, it played pretty long in 2012. It's going to play long again next week. That didn't deter a leaderboard of really short knocking, like accurate guys. So, Sam and then Ryan Palmer, I think people are just buying into the Texas narrative. He hasn't been playing very well, though. So.
Yeah, I think like a 26 in his last like fourth or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I think it's like a T17 at the match play, but that doesn't really count. He just didn't get out of his pod play. So I'm probably out on him. I mean, he makes a lot of birdies. He's long off the tee. But I mean, compared to everybody else in this range, I'm not going to be on him, especially if he's going to have some popularity because of the Texas thing.
All right. There's another one. I'm going to scratch off or at least limit my exposure on now.
I thought you said you were off Palmer. You just didn't know. You just didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, I just don't know what to do with him. Like, okay. I literally don't know. I don't know what to do with that guy because I'm always wrong. Like,
all right. Okay.
So, because I'm so heavy on Leishman and Garcia already, I was like, I gotta sprinkle something in here. But fuck it, you know what? I'll just pass. Okay. Is there water on this course? Because this is water pommel.
So that's one thing I want to clarify there, buddy. So there is water on it.
It runs through like 9 holes or something, right?
Yeah, but it's not really in play for a lot of holes. Like the creek, like how Tom Weisskopf set up the holes around this creek is. It's basically there for eye candy. Like, it doesn't come into play for any of these guys. Like, it's either, like, 30 or 40 yards away from the green. Like, it doesn't really have a chance to, like, roll down back into the creek. Or it's, like, 30 or 40 yards away from the fairway. Like, you have to really blast it off the plan. Or
it's only in play for us, not professionals.
Yes, it's in play for us, not play for them. Now, there's a large lake on the back nine. That's where you're probably going to see the water balls. Like, there's a par 3 over the lake. There's a par 4 that runs along the edge there, but the creek itself, like,
it's a nasty par 5 on the back 9 too. Like, that's like 600 plus yards and super narrow fairway.
I think all the par 5s are reachable.
Are they?
Yeah, I'll go recheck, but I don't think there was a 600 yard par 5 on the course.
I could have downloaded the wrong course on 2K1. So
yeah, Maya, that's okay. So all right. I think
You break down the 8K range. I broke down the 9K range. You break it down. I'm gonna go make a drink. So I might overlap because my wife is in bed because she's not feeling well. So I have to make my own drinks tonight. So
poor you. I know. Well, this is tough because I don't really like anybody in this range. So
you mean you don't like anybody in this range? It's Siwoo. It takes me like 2 seconds to make a drink.
All right. You know what? I'll save the Siwoo talk for when you're back because I'm gonna need to talk you off the ledge.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then I will voice see when I'll let you talk about him. So,
fine.
All right. Go make your drink. I'll start saying why I hate this range. I mean, look, like, I guess you can go. I mean, I'm intrigued by Thomas Peters. He's been playing well when he's come stateside. He's got a bunch of top 20s, but he's popular. And like, anytime you start getting these like weak fields under $9,000, like we saw it, like the Amex, we saw that, I think Pebble, like all these, like once you get under $9,000, you start hitting chalk, like tends to go bad, especially for a Euro Tour player, you know. And you know, it's one thing to do what he did at Corrales, it's like another thing to do it here. And I would be careful with Peters a little bit. Like, he's a really talented player, but you know, if you think Sung Jae-im's a knucklehead, you know, you haven't met Thomas Peters then. I mean, Luke Liss and Aaron Wise, like, they're good fits for this golf course. I mean, Aaron Wise won at Trinity Forest, and it's the same turf conditions here. And I think there's a fine crossover between how they set up Trinity Forest and what TBC Craig Ranch is going to do for these guys. The problem is he's popular this week, and you're paying the super premium for him, and he's an atrocious putter. And like, if the first 2 days are going to be pretty easy scoring conditions, like if the cut's like -4 or -5, like Wise could putt his way out of this tournament easily. So that's a little bit of a problem. Like, I mean, Keith Mitchell, again, you're paying a premium for him. Like, you know, bomber, but he's bad putter. He's come off a good putting week at Quail Hollow too.
Because it was Bermuda though.
Yeah, it was Bermuda. I mean, his putting stats in general are bad. So, like, even if it's
he's only good. The only time he ever plays good.
All right, quote unquote good on Bermuda. Right.
But fine. Air quotes. Fine.
Okay. It works. All right. Even if this was on Bermuda, you'd want to fade him anyways because his putting performance was that good. It can only go down. I mean, if you want to go Cam Champ, good luck. I mean, I can see it. The fact that, like, he's really good off the tee and can blast it everywhere. But, I mean, holy crap, his putting numbers is just atrocious. So, you know, and he's also another guy that at TPC golf courses, he's actually not very good in his career. So, I mean, I think it's because like those require like they're not demanding off the tee. So, he doesn't have as big of an edge there. And like, you know, he's got to have a hot putter and sometimes he can putt his way out of it. And I mean, I've seen you scream about, you know, him on PG Tour Live, but like how. First of all, you blame the caddy without blaming he's just awful at putting.
No, I mean, so there was a correlation to that because he was Keegan's caddy before and now he's Cam's caddy. Like, clearly, listen, this caddy is not good at helping you fucking read putts. Get that fucking guy off the tour. Like these guys are world-class golfers. If you have somebody good who can guide you and teach you how to do something, like, you can't possibly be that bad. You can't possibly be.
I think Cam Chan might be that bad. So, I mean, what the hell's wrong with Jason Day's putting? I don't know. I mean, he struck the ball okay, tee to green. He was awful again with a putter. Like, that's a problem.
I mean, he's go back and use all the equipment like fucking Rory, man.
Yeah, I mean, he decided to become a free agent, and you know, that's not really working.
He's not a TaylorMade guy anymore.
No, he isn't. He quit. He's got a mixed bag now. So he's got a whole bunch of different shit in his bag. So it's clearly not working with the putter. I mean, he's probably should pick up, you know, his old, like Odyssey or something. I don't know. I mean, Harris English continues to struggle off the, you know, tee to green. He putt really well last week. I don't really want to go back to him. Yep. Lee Westwood doesn't strike me as a player who's going to, like, kind of like Fitzpatrick. Like, I want, like, tougher conditions for Westwood. We're more consistent ball striking.
I mean, he was at TPC down here. Sawgrass, man. He played great.
Yeah, but that's, I know, but that's Sawgrass, though.
Yeah, but that's easy.
It wasn't that easy. I think
that's how you describe it. You say it's a fucking pitch and putt.
TPC Sawgrass?
Not pitch and putt. That's wrong. Pitch and putt is wrong. Yeah, but you said it's like easy. It's not challenging other than the water. Like,
I didn't say that.
I'm pretty sure you did.
No, I didn't say that. Sawgrass is definitely the toughest of the TPCs. Yeah. I mean, you're taking some of the teeth out of it because of the overseed, but that's it's still a demand. It's still way harder than this place.
Okay.
All right. I mean, you still got to.
I don't even know what.
You can't make mistakes there.
Yeah, you can't make mistakes.
You get punished when you're offline. Yeah, that's no.
What about how easy is this golf course?
I think it's gonna be really easy. I think it's gonna be like 22 under wins it. Ugh. Like remember TPC Boston last year? Yeah. Like how they ripped up that place.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be similar. Like, I mean, no one's gonna 30 under like DJ did, but I think the second place guy was like 19 under, and like everybody was like 10 under.
Wasn't that Scotty? Was it English?
Yeah, Scott. I think someone was second. It might have been Harris English. I think he was second.
Yeah, like it was one of the Texans.
Yeah, it was crazy conditions. So, yeah, I think it's going to be that easy. And, like, I don't know if I want Westwood. Like, I mean, honestly, like, of anyone in this range, I mean, I can see Kuchar put up, like, 16 under this week.
Dude, no.
Why not? It's not if it's not going to be all that demanding tee to green, and it's going to be kind of a putting contest.
He's good at TPC Boston too.
He's pretty good at TPC golf courses. I mean, he complained a lot about at Trinity Forest, but like how like different it is, how he didn't like it. He wanted to go back to TPC Las Colinas. Now he's on a TPC golf course that kind of fits what he's good at. He doesn't get much ownership this week. I kind of like him a little bit.
Oh man!
Yeah, and he played well at the Valero Texas Open. That has like a similar route. Plays well. It has like a similar routing. Like all these north to south.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of like Kuchar. I mean, I think like if I'm dipping in the 8,000 hours, I think he's the only one I'm going to.
What's his top 10 at?
I don't know. I don't have. I have a good memory. I don't remember that. But I've talked for like 10 minutes about the 8,000 hours. Yeah. It's your turn. This is not the Steve Shermer solo pod, okay?
Yeah. Listen, man. I was back. It's going to be a minute and a half, not even a minute and a half to make a drink.
All right. You get your input, and then we're going to have a discussion about Siwoo.
All right. So, look, I hate the fact that you think, I think you just talked me into fucking Kuchar. I'm pretty sure you just fucking talked me into Kuchar. Everything you said makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's on
and
record.
He's only 4% owned.
Yeah, he's on record. He's like, I hate Trinity Forest. This is stupid. And I really wish we went to TPC Four Seasons to Las Colinas. And now he's at he's back in his comfort zone.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, you just talked me into Kuchar. I'm gonna have to rework some things. I'm out on day. The putting's just so bad. I didn't know he was a free agent at this point. Why would you give up a TaylorMade sponsorship? What a fucking idiot.
I mean, they might not have asked him back.
Yeah, maybe. Harris English, I'm out on. He's not good right now. Like he's lost his form. And like, look, I don't mind watching him golf. Like he seems like a good dude. Like hopefully he can fix it. Peters is just too chalky, man. Like this is a guy. I don't know, man. He's one of these DFS darlings that get talked about on podcasts, pick up steam. And look, I love him because he breaks clubs and he's a fucking maniac. And the scorecard is a roller coaster. Like I love that type of shit, but I'm not playing him at 15% at $8,600. Westwood, I'm not as low on him as you are until you told me you think it's going to be minus 22. Like, I didn't think it was going to be like that. I was thinking like maybe like minus 14, minus 18. We played well at Sawgrass. I don't know. I feel like he might have lost his window, though, but he's only 1.5% owned. So if he does turn it on, like, you'll be golden. You know, I'm on Luke List. No explanation needed. Wise, like, no way. $8,300. $8,300? No. Absolutely not.
I mean, he did almost win the Honda a couple weeks ago.
Don't give a shit. He's 10% owned. He's Aaron Wise.
He did win Trinity Forest too.
Don't care.
Okay.
Don't care.
Just don't shoot the messenger.
No, that's fine. I'm just telling you. I don't care. And Cameron. So I guess whatever, man. Like I'm on Cam Champ. Maybe it's like chicks dig the long ball, Capper digs a long drive. You know what I mean? Like I like him off the tee. Keith Mitchell, I'm off. But what's funny is we talked about him prior to last week, and I was like, he can't be as bad as he was the week before when he lost like 7 strokes putting, and he wasn't. But he still putted himself out of that fucking tournament. And Schwartzel, I have no feel on. 10%, I'll just fade out of just pure ownership. And Kuchar at 4. Damn it, man.
And Siwoo for you.
Yeah, obviously Siwoo. So why should I like Siwoo?
All right.
Fucking world-class iron player. Fucking great. He finished top 10 at Sawgrass, right? A more difficult course than this.
Fair.
Right? So tell me why I should not like Siwoo at 8,800. Now, 8,800, okay. That's not bad.
All right. So the only other Tom Weisskopf golf course that has 4 rounds is TPC Scottsdale. And Siwoo Kim's history at TPC Scottsdale is
trash. It's trash.
It's trash.
It's really bad.
And that's a little concerning. Yeah. I mean, if I see TPC Scottsdale all over this place, tee to green,
yeah,
that's a reason for me to get off him, especially with his popularity. So, I mean, I know that's not...
I'll just bet him.
I know that's not enough to get you off him. It's enough for me to get off.
Yeah, that's fine. And look, I already bet him outright, so maybe I can, I can probably fade him.
Okay.
Especially with my builds.
But, no, you should go with your gut. I mean, this is for anybody else on the fence, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'll stick with my boy. I probably should limit it a little bit, though. I might be a little over-leveraged at this point. All right, well, listen, before we jump into the 7K range, look, man, no one's perfect. So even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes 3-putt with a tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation for ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own house. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free within 2 business days. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without even leaving your house. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. So go to GetRoman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/SGP. Get started now and save $15 on your first month of treatment. Okay. All right. 7K. What we got?
Well, you're leaning off.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. It's my turn. All right. So, I mean, I'm already butthurt from fucking Gooch last weekend. Because I also had him at the top 20. Like, you really got a T27. Yeah, but I had him at plus 450 for a fucking top 20. And he ruined that shit. And he's 50% owned. So I'm going to skip over Gooch this week. I'm going to skip Gim. I'm going back. I think I'm just kind of going back to what we were riding earlier in the year, like passing over that 7K chalk. Gim was always like fun for me. I mean, I took him at 6,900. Like, I feel like I don't know. I just, 20% for a 7K guy, like that just spells death. Listen, even if they're wrong, I'd rather be wrong. I'd just rather be wrong than lose 20% of my, you know what I mean? Like that much of my lineup, you can give so much leverage over that. And Brent Snedeker is 10% owned. No, like I feel like that, like that's just name recognition, right? Like that seems like that would be like that ownership percentage to me seems like almost like a major ownership percentage because you got a bunch of casuals coming in and clicking on it and be like, oh, I remember Snedeker. He was really good. And they click on it because it's a cheap price, but I'm out on him.
Can I make one interjection, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I understand that like Snedeker is $800 less than Matt Kuchar, but they're the same player basically. And so you could probably maneuver your lineup a little. I mean, because let's face it, like everybody other $8,500 basically the same player from like 7,000 to 8,500. I would rather just play Matt Kuchar 4% than Brant Snedeker at 10.
Yeah, and
they're both doing basically the same thing right now.
And Snedeker's played okay lately. He definitely has.
They're both about the same level right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Just 10% for Snedeker. No way. No fucking way. Kazire used to be a little darling. He played well at the Valero. I kind of like him. Definitely don't care about Ricky still. Russell Knox, I was hoping the wind would get up a little bit. So if it's going to get windy over the weekend, he's just got to make it to the cut. I like... Sorry. I like him. I like Straka, but then I saw the ownership and I was like, nope. He's 12%. Why is Seb Straka 12% owned?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't really pop on any of the ball striking numbers. I mean, I think he has good driving distance. He's a good putter. I think he's birdie racer okay. I don't know, though. I don't think there's a Texas connection.
I have no idea. You're supposed to tell me. I don't mind CT Pan and Piercy. Like, dude, I mean, this is just birdshot range, man. Like, pick your guys up top who you really believe in and scattershot some of these guys down here. I actually don't mind Villegas again. He's been playing really well, but the problem is the hell was it? I was looking at when I was looking at Fantasy National, it was I think it's off the tee is like fucking like atrocious. I can't remember if it's either off the tee or the approach. It's just so bad that I can't believe
It's off the tee.
It's off the tee.
A lot of blue in my off the tee.
Like I would look down. I was like, ooh, that's not sustainable. But whatever, man. I love his backstory. I like to root for this dude. I'm on him again. Villegas at 6%. Like I said, man, this is a scattershot range. I would say just avoid the chalk and spread it around a little bit.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think I agree with you that, I mean, I typically like Taylor Gooch, but A, he's gonna be really popular. B, he doesn't do very well at these simple TPC setups in his career. Like, he's losing strokes to the field and he's played it a lot. He doesn't play a lot at Scottsdale either. So that's a little concerning. Like, it seems like where Taylor Gooch plays well is like your Quail Hollows, your Torrey Pines, like all your tough demanding golf courses, and when you go to these simple setups, he hasn't been as good for whatever reason. So I think it's pretty easy to pass on him. I actually like another guy, $7,900, Alex Noren. You know, he's like, he can get lights out with the putter. He's been doing a little better tee to green lately. You know, he's longer off the box than you think. I mean, the ball striking numbers aren't awesome, but he can definitely be a type of guy that, you know, can go low numbers. Like, I think last year at the 3M Open at TPC Twin Cities, he was like third. That was like a winning score, like 20 under. So he can get up there. And he just eats up these TPC golf courses too, like in his career. And he did pretty well at Scottsdale. So I kind of really like him. You know, same thing with like Charles Howell, like just plays well with these like simple setups. Like, it seems like that's been his cash cow through his career, is he's like, you know, PGA tours, like soft, safe setups. And I mean, he's not a guy that, like, he actually is pretty good off the tee, gains a lot of strokes, horrific with his irons, but if he's so good off the tee, then, you know, can he at least set himself up for like manageable birdie looks by just like, you know, wedges and short irons in the greens. He's a great putter, good scrambler too. I don't think he's getting all that much ownership, so I like him. I mean, I agree with you with Villegas. Like, the off the tee numbers are concerning, but he's been so good everywhere else, including with the putter, and he's been good tee to green lately. So I still like him. I mean, I want to like Harry Higgs. I think I'm only going to go with the top 20 though with him. Like, he seems like he eventually will get a win. I can see in my head like Harry Higgs wins the Byron Nelson.
Right,
as one of these long shot winners. I don't know, I looked at some of his recent performances of, like, he was really bad TD Green last week. He's really good with the putter. Like, that's a little concerning. I might just do like a top 20 with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, I think I'm fine with Kazire. Like, I know Sepp Straka has some ownership. Maybe hopefully the ownership's kind of lying to us. I don't mind him.
I don't mind him either, but I mean, seriously, almost 12% for Sepp Straka. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
I mean, like, I think Johnny Vegas, like, I know he's popular, but he pops up in the numbers too. I don't hate CT Pan on this. I mean, are we overthinking James Hahn, the fact he finished second at this event in 2012, at this golf course in 2012?
Super low ownership, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing like garbage.
Yeah, right? Hot garbage.
I mean, but it can turn around. Yeah. Seems like it also is the type of golf course where EVR can't get in too much trouble off the tee either. So, oh,
that's true.
He played well in Texas.
Yeah.
No, he plays okay at these TPC setups, so I don't hate him. I think that's a good play, though. Just avoid the chalk. And try and pivot when you can. Like, because I mean, that's a big range, a lot of range, and you know, I think there's definitely gonna be a few of these unheralded guys that definitely pop this week.
No, absolutely, it's
just narrow pickage, it's every narrow pickage one. Yeah,
exactly, every fucking week. All right, so 6K. I feel like we don't have to spend too much time on this. Yeah, anybody you like down there?
Pass.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
I'm always a sucker for KH Lee.
Yeah, I like him too.
But it's like 6%.
Yeah,
too much. I mean, Hank Lebioda played pretty well TD Reen last week. He put like ass. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's going to reverse a little bit. I don't know. Like, there's some like bombers down here that, you know, are just bad everything else. One guy I forgot to mention up there, Wyndham Clark. Mm. I think I like him up in 7,000 hour range.
Okay.
And I guess I can lump him into here. Like,
yeah, sure.
The problem with him is he's big off the tee. He did pretty well TD Green, I think, last week. He's been in a rut with his putter, which is strange because like that's typically what he does. Like, he tends to putt really well. The last few tournaments hasn't gone very well for him. I know he has it in him. His birdie rates are relatively okay. He played well at Twin Cities a couple years ago. He's played pretty well at some of these like TPC setups as well, just because he's so long.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit of a dark horse this week. So, I mean, but other than that, though, I'm not really, I'm trying not to dip too much in this range. There's just a lot of garbage. Like, I think John Ha might have hit a wall.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Danny Lee, but he withdrew last week. That's a problem.
And he's a really maniac.
Is he a maniac? How is he a maniac?
Isn't he the one? Was he the one who like nine putted that one and like almost withdrew? This is this season.
Who
was
that? Yeah. I forget.
Yeah, I think that was him.
So, I don't know. I mean,
what about KJ Choi? Texas course, lives in Texas, did well at the Valero.
This is like you going with Vaughn Taylor last week.
Listen, that almost paid off. He was looking fine after round one, and then he shat all over himself round two. But I'm saying, like, listen, man, it's an old dude, wily veteran. I don't know what he plays TPCs like, but I mean, lives in Texas. I think he made the cut at the Valero. Yeah, dude, he came in 30th at the Valero. Like,
right. I mean, if you want to try and turn back the clocks with KJ, should we go for it?
Listen, it's $6,200. Right? You're just hoping to Christ he makes the cut.
That's a very good point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we're talking about dog shit down here.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some love for Bo Hoag, too. I mean, played well. I mean, if you want to draw the immediate comparisons to Scottsdale, he played well there.
Yeah.
And same thing with, like, a Mark Hubbard. Just, you got to close your eyes because he's been awful at everything. Yeah, I mean, other than that, though, I mean, Chris Ventura, like, he's a good putter.
No, he has burnt me so many fucking times.
I know he's burnt you, but he hasn't burnt everybody.
Yeah,
I'm trying to
stop the spread of fucking herpes. Don't right. fucking bet on Ventura.
Right. Well, he's a name. I just threw it into the ether.
All right, fair enough. All right, anybody else you want to talk about?
No, do you have anybody here?
No, fuck it. No.
Okay.
All right. So, who's the big shot for the week? You got one?
I mean, I think this is pretty easy, and it's. I've defended this guy for a long time.
Okay.
Ever since last fall, and we have reached critical mass of Doug Gimlove.
Oh shit! Okay,
and like this is a big heel turn for me because
yeah,
I didn't expect that. I really do love this kid. I mean, I think he's really good tee to green. Like, I think big things are in for him, but he is so horrific with the putter right now. Like, he's losing a shot and a quarter per round with a putter in his last 16 rounds, and it just stinks. And the fact that he's just, like, the only reason why he is popular this week is A, because he's pumped every week on Pat Mayo, and B, because everyone just puts in ball striking statistics on Fantasy National, and that's just what they go with. They don't do any thought behind this stuff.
Yep.
So I'm going to fade the uber chalk in the 7,000-hour range of Doug Gim. I think he at least finishes outside the top 50, probably missed the cut. I think he's going to disappoint a lot of people this week.
Oh, I wonder what that
is. I mean, like, listen, like, if this is going to be like 4 under, 5 under for a cut, like, let's say he gets off to a pretty poor start with the ball striking early.
Yeah.
He can't really recover with the putter in order to keep up. Like, he might be like, I don't know, like 6 shots like behind of where the cut is probably going to end up, like, after day one. That's a tall ask. And that's, I think, a realistic possibility. Like, he's got off to really slow starts the past couple of tournaments, too, and then rallied on Friday. Like, I don't know if he can do that this time. Like, I don't think there's going to be guys coming back to him that would allow him to kind of backdoor a cut. So I think Doug Ginn's going to miss the cut. And that pains me to say it. I love this kid, but, dude, fix your goddamn putter.
Okay? Fix your goddamn putter.
Please, please. And get your cut your ownership in half.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, he definitely gets that Mayo bump. No questions about it. All right, so he's the who you got for one and done?
I mean, this is easy. Like, I talked about him earlier last week. I had to beg you off of him because are the mush of all mush.
I know, so bad.
I think this is going to be the breakthrough victory for the Texas Twig himself, Will Zalatoris.
Texas Twig.
Going to get his first win this week. My one and done pick. Let's go.
The Texas Twig. I like it. All right. So who? All right,
let's first pull up who you have taken. Okay. It's a very sad path that's led you here.
Hey, you're such a dick.
I just report the news. Okay?
I just don't understand how I can pick winners. But
the fact you picked Jon Rahm and a miscut, like, of all the events, Jon Rahm can miss the cut.
Yeah,
Quail Hollow.
Yeah, like, come on.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like speaking into existence at this point. Like, I'm just putting it on it. So who do we want to fuck this week? Let's go that way.
All right. Well, here are guys you've already taken who are in this field. Okay.
Yeah.
Ryan Palmer, Scotty Scheffler, Harris English, Daniel Berger. Rahm. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, like, you got Bryson available, you got Spieth available.
Fuck it. Let's take Bryson and I'll put some money down on him. Let's go, big boy.
I'd love you.
Let's go, big boy. Let's go.
There we go.
Let's go.
I love that take. There we go. Bryson DeChambeau wins the Byron Nelson.
Let's go.
God, that's gonna be hell if he misses the cut.
Dude, if he misses the cut, if that fucking happens. Like, we literally just have to, like, I have to not think about it prior, because I don't think about it prior. I literally give zero thought to my one and done because they all suck before coming on. And if that happens, like I'm going to bet Bryson and Miss Scott this week. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
I think I did do it with Rahm. I did it with one of my other guys and actually cashed. Okay. Like, I'll at least. All right.
Moving to the betting card, we're going to.
Yeah. Let's get to the betting card. But before, listen, if you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check it out. Some of their best fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around, including the Best Ball Mania 2 tournament where you can win $1 million. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlaying player props on the NLB, MLB, NBA, and more. They also have a special NBA playoffs best ball tournament coming up as well. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN. And don't forget to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right, let's go.
All right, let's start a first round leader. You got anything?
So do we got any leans?
I mean, now it's a new golf course, so no.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I only got five. I wanted to see what our fucking Rain Man says for the rest of them. I got Fitz, Garcia, Champ, Peters, and K.H. Lee.
Ooh, K.H. Lee, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think just go with guys that typically just play really well at TBC golf courses, putt really well. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if anybody at the top of the draft card ends up.
I know this is so boring.
Yeah, I know that's boring, but I mean, you see Matt Kuchar get out to an early lead.
Oh, maybe Kuch. No, dude, where the fuck was Kuch last first round leader?
I don't know, but he's going to be in this happy place.
Must have been 12 years ago. Like, this
12 years ago. I mean, you can get, like, I don't know, who's like a good putter gun, like TBC, like, you know.
Garcia,
like a Pat Gazire. Well, Garcia's not a good putter. I mean, that's
but he's good on TBC golf courses.
I mean, maybe Harris English gets lights out with a putter on day one. I don't know. I mean, it could happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
I mean, yeah. So I just target those types of guys. But yeah. I mean, it's gonna be a crapshoot. I mean, anytime a tournament is a putting contest,
first round leader is an absolute crapshoot.
Yeah, take a bunch of stabs like down low. Yeah. Go CT Pan for all I care. Yeah. Do that.
Oh, I'm not either.
There you go. Even Patrick Rogers, because you think he can't putt, but he can.
But what did he do the last 2 days, Steve?
All right, he couldn't putt, but he did.
Thank
the first
you. Okay. Thank you.
All right, then we're half right then. There you go. Yeah. I mean, the dude finished top 10 and sourcing.
You fucking, you're the one who mushed him on fucking Saturday. Oh, Mr. Can't Putt Rogers, look what he's done. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Well, didn't you try to pump him up a little bit too? I think you started it.
Yeah, I said, I need all the good juju behind it. Like, let's go, guys.
My apologies that Patrick Rogers listened to some jabroni from Rochester, New York, and does a podcast and that. He's like, oh, I'm a little nervous. Steve thinks I'm going to do well.
Well, your name is God of Golf, sir. I'm nervous as well.
Yeah. I'm sorry I smited him then. All right, let's move on. What do you want to do next? You want to do matchups? You want to do positional props?
Let's see if you got any top 20s and top 10s you want to give out. Let's just do those.
I said
400. That's it.
I don't want to get on the outright. I don't like the outright price on Scheffler, but I have FOMO. I want to just have a little bit on him. I didn't find a matchup I liked. I found a top 10 at 2-1. I'm just going to take that. I mean, I know he has the mush stink, but it's only he's just not going to win. Right. I mean, he could still finish top 10. So 2-1, that's fine. I mean, we'll talk about him later. I doubled up on Sergio Garcia for a top 10. 4-1, I like him. And then we'll talk about him a little later for a bigger bet. And as far as top 20s go, I mean, a lot of guys I like in the $7,000 range, let's throw it out here. The positional prop market this week is absolute garbage.
Hot garbage. Sir.
The pricing is really, really bad. Yeah. So I'm still trying to work out and play, trying to price shop a little bit as far as some top 20s, but just some guys I like, like Charles Howell III, Alex Noren, Johnny Vegas. I think Sebastian Munoz might have a decent week. It kind of, this golf course kind of fits him too. Like Tom Hoagie.
So I grabbed Munoz as the only top 20 I did was Munoz at plus 300.
Okay. I mean, that's not a great price. Not great. No. I mean, it's better than a lot of them this week. Like, I don't know, like James Hahn, like he finished second here, like K.H. Lee, Harry, like stuff like that. But like, just if you're going to bet a lot of these, like, you got to know the prices stink. So, if I would not be offended if, like, you just decide not to bet positional props and you just do matchups and outrights. The pricing is bad.
It's the top 10s and top 20s are the missionary of betting right now.
Yeah. I mean, even the top 10 pricing is bad too on a lot of these.
It's even worse.
Yeah. So, if I'm looking at a guy, if you're looking at Munoz, like usually the top 10 is about double what the top 20 price. So Munoz 6-1 to finish top 10. That price stinks.
Yeah, price stinks.
Yeah. So, whatever.
What about, so if you're on Viegas too, 8-1 top 10? That's garbage, man. It's Viegas, 8-1. That should be at least fucking 15-1.
I'm telling you, the pricing this week stinks. It's not a good betting.
It stinks.
Yeah. I mean, at least we got the PGA next week where there's a plethora of bets, but we just got to get to this week. So
much money.
So, all right. I mean, that's all I got for positional props. Yeah, I got a bunch of matchups I like, though.
All right, cool. All right. Why don't you jump off first with the matchups?
Okay. Well, it's going to make you smile.
Okay.
Learned my lesson last week with Ricky. Not back. Definitely not back. It's a lot of juice. I realized I was starting to get really cute with my matchups. I'm gonna stop fucking around.
Okay.
Sergio -150 over Ricky.
It's a lot of juice.
I don't care.
Listen, as a guy
whatever. Listen, like I bet one unit on all these matchups, the lower pay price, but you know what? Just trying to win.
I adjust.
Basically. See, I don't. I just, it's one unit and then whatever the payout is. So, I also mentioned earlier that I don't really like Lee Westwood on this type of track.
Okay.
I have a really bad track record of betting Eric Van Rooyen, but I don't think he should be the underdog just based on what they've all been doing over the last year. Like Lee Westwood had the second place finish the player, second place finish at Bay Hill. Other than that, he hasn't been all that great. So, I bet Van Rooyen -105 over Westwood head to head. I think this is a good fit for Van Rooyen. Like, there's not a whole lot of places you can get in trouble off the tee.
Okay.
So I like that. I mentioned earlier, I don't really love Taylor Gooch this week. Like, he seems like he does really well in hard golf courses. On these TPC setups, he hasn't been as good. I kind of like Cage Lee this week. And I can get plus 1.5 strokes at -110 over Gooch.
Well, I
don't mind that. So
I like getting those stroke and a half.
Okay. Yeah, when the price is reasonable, I don't mind it. I'm paying a lot of juice again for this, but I mean, it's kind of sad to see what happened to Kevin Chappell after the back surgery. And he just has been playing good. And I like Tom Hoagie a lot this week. It's minus 150 over Chappell. I like that one. Just Chappell's just not playing very well. Like ever since he came back in the 2019 Greenbrier, he shot, I think, a 59 right off the bat. Ever since then, it has not been going very well for him.
You know more about Kevin Chappell than Kevin Chappell's old mother does.
Yeah. It has been great. So this is going really low at the bottom of the barrel. So Satoshi Kodaira, out of nowhere, played well last week.
No, and did he miss a cut?
No, he finished like T11 last week.
Swear to Christ, he missed a cut.
Satoshi Kodaira, no, he played very well. He missed three straight, and then he finished T11. He did it all in the back of his putter, and like the putting has been hot garbage all year. I think that regresses. I kind of like Hank Lebioda this week. He's minus 120 over Kodaira. I mean, I don't even need like Lebioda to do all that much. I don't think Kodaira is going to make the cut this week.
Okay.
I like Lebioda there. And then he's my boy. When I found a price of Fitzpatrick even against Koepka, that's wrong. Koepka should not be minus 130 over Fitzpatrick, just based on how they're both playing. I'm not even all that high on Fitzpatrick, but we have absolutely no idea what Koepka's going to do this week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably going to be shaking off the rust week for him. I can't imagine that knee is feeling pretty good.
No.
So I took Fitzpatrick even over Koepka. I'm sorry, Brooks, I still love you, but I want you to stay off social media and rehab that knee, okay?
Are you guys still in marriage counseling? Because you guys divorced and then you guys got back together. So is the counseling going well?
No, I'm setting boundaries.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. You have to openly communicate on what each of you want. And
exactly. Yeah, and I'm telling him, stay off social media. Get
the knee
better.
He's
not start winning again. Start killing everybody. That's what I want.
He doesn't even have to win a shit ton of money with his social media thing, and that's the problem. So kind of on the same page. So, like, I got Leishman plus 125 over Brooks.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I'll take that.
That one I thought about, but Leishman can blow up, like...
Listen, all these fucking guys can blow up. And I love the plus number. And especially, listen, last weekend, I went from like, man, like Thursday, all right, I bet too chalky, fucking went like, whatever, like 1-3. And I took a beating on the fucking juice. And I was like, all right, so, all right, let's be careful on the juice. And then so like Friday, tried to bet more even, went fucking 0-6 or 1-5. And I was like, fuck it, I need the favorites again. Saturday, got my teeth kicked in again. Fucking Christ for Rory. Seriously, thank fucking Christ for Rory.
Yeah, last week was a tough scene for a lot of matchups. And yeah. I like I said earlier, I think a lot of sharp guys aren't doing well at the matchups right now, and I think it's going to reverse pretty soon.
Dude, that was this past weekend was easily, and I mean fucking easily, my worst fucking weekend for matchups. And
yeah, me too.
I can't even fucking remember. It was fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible. Thank God I hit the outright. That's what pisses me off about hitting an outright, especially a short outright where you only put like $50 on it. It's like, what is that? Like fucking, whatever. Anyway, so I'm going with the Berger over Spieth because of COVID narrative. Like you said, Berger's got all the tools, likes to play here. Fine with that. I'm actually going against you, not against you, but I'm taking List minus 120 over Norton.
I don't hate that.
And then I'm with you on fading Gib. I'm sure you're not gonna like who I'm taking, but I saw the plus sign. So Scam Champ plus 105.
God,
but it's plus money, man. And then I'm taking both Sergio and Siwoo over Palmer at -115 and -125 respectively.
All right, I like those. Let's get back in the plus on matchups this week. All right, let's go.
Let's do it. We got this. All right. And I'll put out some first round matchups probably tomorrow. I usually typically throw out the first round matchups with my first round leaders when I end at probably about 10 o'clock Eastern. It's usually when I do it in Slack.
Okay. All right. How about, why don't you jump off with outrights?
All right. So outrights, I only got five this week.
Yeah, I got five too. I'm keeping my options open.
Yeah, me too. And I really think like like a Bryson or a Rahm or somebody really short, like I would probably just kind of start out slow and I could jump on them, like you said, in the Slack channel. Like, that's the way to do it with those short numbers. So Will Z, I'm on. Siwoo, Luke List, Scam Champ, and Garcia. That's who I'm on. No long
shot. What was the number on Cam Champ?
800.
So 80.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see betting an outright on Cam just because his ceiling is massive. The floor is hell. Like, that's literally hell. So I don't hate that one as much. I thought about that because he can be an explosive golfer, but I mean, I would never use Cam Champ in a matchup. Like, good luck with that.
I like roller coasters, man.
Yeah. So I mentioned I was really high on Will Zalatoris. I got him at 28-1. Yeah. I mean, I got on that pretty early. On Monday, I saw just when the odds came out, I'm like, all right, boom. Let's go with that. I bet Sergio 45-1. I like the number.
Yeah, so I got two.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there you go. So we're on the same page there. I'm on Alex Noren 100-1. And I talked about this a lot on my preview pod. This morning, not yesterday. So I took a look at what types of guys win these low purse rinky dink events before a major. And there's been 25 events. 12 of them have been 50-1 or better, and 10 of them have been 100-1 or worse. And there's kind of like a dead zone of 50-100.
Yeah.
So I tried to avoid that range. So I basically went top of the chart and then throw a couple darts. So I'm on Noren 100-1. I got a funny feeling about Wyndham Clark this week.
What is that? That's twice you've mentioned him.
I know. I have a funny feeling that, like, he's been in the mix a couple times. Like he was in the mix of the Genesis. I remember he was in the mix at Twin Cities, another TPC golf course with a bunch of low scoring. I don't know. Like, I got a funny feeling.
Go with your gut, Steve. That's what you're
doing. And then same thing with Tom Hoagie. Like, I bet him a couple times. He's had a couple of Kolek's calls. Like, he was in the mix at Pebble. I think he played well at Valero, too. So I'm going to go back to that. And then I'm only doing those five. Actually, no, I take that back. I bet Daniel Berger 18-1, but then I found out he was Ander Kirst, so I don't want to give that out to you guys. But I am on Daniel Berger. I got a good price on him. I liked him a lot, but then I found out he was just mush to the moon. So yeah, I'm technically on six, but I'm keeping my options open. I'm probably going to live bet, see what happens, because, I mean, it's probably going to be someone we didn't even mention that ends up winning this thing. So
there's 170. Yeah,
but that's why you live bet on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Live bet on Friday, live bet on Saturday. And listen, sometimes you even take a shit number on fucking Sunday if you got enough bullets to fire just to make up for all the other odds you put out, man, just to break even. Listen, I will happily fucking fire a huge bullet at somebody that's fucking plus 150 that's clearly going to win the fucking tournament.
There's no shame in breaking even in golf.
No, fuck no. No, there isn't. All right, man. Anything else?
I think we're good. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I've talked a lot of golf today because I did technically two podcasts. And the god of golf needs to sleep.
All right. You can get your beauty rest thing you need. So listen, go to his article, read up a little bit of the course. He gives you a little more breakdown as far as best bets and things like that. A little more than what we talk about, because I constantly take him off track. But go read that. And then listen, at the bottom of that stuff, go to the Slack channel, man. Seriously. Once again, I say I'll go on Twitter and do better, and I never do, as Moonoff and everyone else called me out last week. I was like, I posted a video. What else do you want from me? I didn't type out my picks. I posted a video. Right, Steve?
Yes.
Thank you. That's doing better. Right? But come to the Slack channel. That's where you engage with people. Like, who knows what happens on Twitter? The place is a goddamn cesspool. Slack channel, nice, loving golf community. We all bet on the same shit. Fucking let's go. Like, that's where you need to come. Come to the Slack channel. You can follow me on Twitter to come to the Slack channel, Boston_Capper, for my random like midnight tweets after I've had too many gins. So those are always fun to watch too. So listen, for myself and the god of golf himself, Steve Shermer, it's the Byron Nelson. Cash some more fucking tickets. PGA next weekend. Let's fucking go.